If I read on a menu, it's like, it's eggplant and crab and like creme fraiche and it's been steamed. I'm like, I already don't want that goop. Do you know what
like
I mean?
Sure, like a meat, put a toast in there or something. Exactly. Put some croutons.
The only goop I want is Gwyneth Paltrow's candle.
That's right. That's right.
Yes, it's her.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Top Chef Fantasy League, the podcast for chaos cooking. I'm your host and commissioner, Mike Cablon. With me are my co-hosts, Sierra Cotto and Iffy Wadiway. You guys, thank you so much for holding it down last week while I was gone.
Oh, yeah.
We were internationally traveling.
I was. Yeah. I was in Japan, and I brought with me little Japanese snacks.
Wow.
So if you'd like to try the viral cognac jelly, this is a grape-flavored jelly. You just tear off the top and suck it out.
Oh, my God.
And these are Ojicha tea Kit Kats. Yeah, what are your thoughts on the viral jelly?
Oh, it should be viral. Yeah. Very good. Yeah. Earned its virality.
Earned its, yeah, okay.
They said it's the girth master of candy.
I can't tell how serious you're being.
Oh, yeah, because you're in Japan, so you might have missed the whole girth master discourse.
Oh, when you were away, things changed.
What?
Yeah. It was the thing
like
of,
the day I left.
It was the viral thing of the week. It's so funny to realize that. Yeah, you just happen to miss the week.
I remember reading a story that like Jared Leto was on like an ayahuasca retreat when COVID started. So everyone's like,
that's you.
He had to come back to society and find out that everything was shut down. That's how I feel right now.
Yeah. Yeah, we're mutuals now too. So shout out to Girth Master. Wow.
Thanks for listening, Girth Master.
So much happened.
Also,
here we
mutuals.
Go.
Yeah, you already know what's coming. I've said it how many times this whole time since we've been on this pod. I was like, look, me and Amanda, we'll be great friends. Well, guess what? We are now mutuals.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, she really liked our
Hang out in LA, Amanda.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
I'm so ready.
Or any of the chefs. This is an open invitation.
Yes.
They are following us as the days go on. We got Sue on following us.
Mm-hmm.
Amanda commented. We got Morton Salt to comment on
Morton Salt commented.
Getting some interaction. They didn't follow. Their social
media intern is working overtime to engage with every little person who messages them.
Yeah. Because I feel like that says something about what we're doing. I feel like
it feels like at first glance, like indulgent for us to constantly be like, so-and-so is following us on Instagram now. But truly, it's just because we started doing this for funsies.
Yeah.
And the fact that it has snowballed up to the actual chefs following us is like really cool to us.
So we just appreciate it.
Thanks for listening.
Yeah.
All right. Let's talk initial reactions to this episode because I have some thoughts. I want to know what you guys think.
I mean,
maniacal laughter. That's where we're at.
Yeah.
I mean, this was like the appropriate episode for them to do the chaos cooking because it really
felt like chaos
in the show. What a shake, just top to bottom shakeups.
Yes.
The whole last segment of the show, my mouth was open the whole time. Mouth just agape till I texted y'all where I was like, I can't wait to talk.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is right. Wow. I think this is what it's all about.
me and Dylan were already having a tough day, I think. It was just like, you know, kind of a gloomy
Wednesday. Okay, let's get into that. Is everything okay?
Let's turn this into a relationship pod.
No,
I think we were okay. I would say he was feeling down, not to out his downness on Wednesday.
Sure,
but,
okay, yeah.
You know, when I didn't get enough sleep, whatever. You woke up on
okay, a bad day.
So it was already like, and then it's like, well, good thing we have Top Chef tonight.
Oh, no.
To bring us back from the depths. Yes. And then we were like, no! It was just
internally within
your
house. Are you and Dylan has he adopted your fantasy team or is he like rooting against you? Do you know what I mean?
Oh gosh, no, he's adopted it, and I mean he's almost more into it than I am because he was so much like, oh, Rossica's gonna get it, like top three, Rossica, Sue, and Danny, like he after all on my team. So he was very like more emotionally involved than I was. So I could see why he took it pretty hard. But I was also so shocked, and I think it was just like, especially Rossica, you know, from the start, great, you know, a fan favorite, somebody who was a strong.
If she gets voted
chef.
Official fan favorite at the end, I will not be surprised.
Consistent, not like sweeping all the time, but like for sure, you know, I mean, everybody was surprised. yeah, I mean, we'll get into it all, but
we'll get into it. Yes. I do want to talk a little bit about Chaos Cuisine because I felt like, and this is based on nothing. I'm sitting in my living room with just me and my girlfriend, but I could feel that people online are going to kind of freak out about Chaos Cuisine because on the show, even some of the chefs were confused. And so I know that like people who aren't like, you know, upper class coastal dining elites are, you know, there's going to be some feelings about that. What are your feelings on Chaos Cuisine?
Well, you know, it's so funny because for me, the way I looked at it is culinary, you know, stuff is an art in itself. And I feel like much like art, sometimes it can be very avant-garde and confusing where it is like, it's more of an idea. Like there isn't a clear-cut rule. I should just be able to look at it and see it. And I think the best, like I think it was the person who won is the person who encapsulated the idea of that, where it's like, yes, this is what I was thinking, but you've done it in your way. If that makes any sense.
I'm glad you brought up the parallel to art because I do feel like chaos cooking is like a label that is put on something from a scholarly standpoint and not necessarily something that has... It's not something you aim for. Do you know what I mean? In the same way that we look at paintings, we're like, that was cubism, that was impressionism, that was postmodernism. Right. That like those painters weren't trying to do that thing. They were just like, this guy's doing this thing. I want to try my version of that. Yeah. And then later on, scholars are like, we're going to call that impressionism or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. You know?
Yes.
Oh, interesting. Yeah, that like later, if you're really truly in the movement, you probably aren't self-aware. That,
you're not.
Like, that's
exactly.
Be interesting. Yeah, I thought like I don't have much familiarity with that term. I just was sort of like, I think generally for the episode was, you know, maybe our least Wisconsin-y episode. So it was a little bit like, I didn't really know, you know, are they going to loop this back into Wisconsin or something? And then, you know, also Maddie Matheson, big star, he comes in, you know, bringing this theme. And so I think there's a lot of like personality to it where it's like, you know, oh, this big star is here. Like we want to impress him. You know, they definitely like Savannah highlighted that a lot. So I kind of was just saw it as like, I guess, you know, being loud and doing big things. I
don't know. It's a loud episode.
A loud person comes in and you be loud. But I thought that it could be interpreted in so many ways. And I was kind of surprised at like the way that some people did it and how that either it was considered chaos or it wasn't. You know, I feel like it kind of was a thing where if the judges liked the dish, they could kind of bend the purpose to it.
Yeah, I agree.
You know, that's
I was surprised at the lack of familiarity. This is something I get annoyed with in Hollywood where, like an example is I remember being on a sketch team once with someone who was an actress on the team, and our director was like, okay, can you play this like a manic pixie dream girl? And she's like, I don't know what that is. And we were like, okay, do you know who Zooey Deschanel is? And she's like, no. And we're like, okay, like you kind of got to work with me. Sure. You know what I mean? If you want to work in this industry, you have to be familiar with like the vocabulary. Yeah. And so it's like, to me, like the first thing I thought of was Eater wrote an article about chaos cooking, and I looked up, it was in 2022. So if by the time the national like publication covering your industry covers something, that means it's been around for a while.
Yeah.
So let's just wind the clock back maybe a year and say that chaos cooking has been a thing since about 2021. They filmed this in maybe 2023. That's 2 years of like, you should kind of be up to date on your industry's trends. You know what I mean? This is also, chaos cooking is the menu on The Bear.
Okay.
It's like a blink and you'll miss it line, but there are a few lines in The Bear where Carmi and Sydney are like, hey, what do you think for the menu? I'm thinking chaos. Hey, are you still thinking about chaos? Oh, I don't know how I feel about that. You know what I mean? So it's like they are, it's like, it's in the zeitgeist. So when some of the chefs are like, I'm not familiar with this, I'm like, I don't know, man, that kind of, I'm inclined to like not root for you now because it's like, I want you to be familiar with what's going on in the restaurant world. You know, it kind of reminds me of, there was a challenge a while ago where I think it was maybe Wiley Dufresne or maybe Grant Achatz or someone, you know, sort of molecular gastronomy who was like, we want you to make a dish that looks like one thing and tastes like another.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I think that
and
was
a lot of the chefs kind of didn't get it.
Right.
And it felt like at the time that was like that, like the equivalent of that.
Sure.
At that time, it's like, you should kind of know what molecular gastronomy is.
Yeah.
And a lot of the chefs kind of missed the mark. And I'm like, I don't know how quickly news travels through the culinary world. You know what I mean?
True, true.
Well, it's so funny, right? Because I think there's two ways to look at it, right? One thing I think of is the way, you know, comedians will see something new and almost reject it. think a lot about Vine. I remember when Vine first came out and the comics were like, I'm never going to do that.
Yeah.
And then all these comics started blowing up on there and everyone's trying to jump on the ship after.
Yeah.
And I feel like, I wonder if that's the same thing in the food world where it's like, this is the hip new food thing. And They're like, I know what I'm doing. I don't need to do it. Right. And then all these restaurants start blowing up. They're like, okay, maybe we need to see what this chaos stuff is
about. Yeah. Yeah. That makes sense. Right. That
you
makes sense.
You have to be a little bit swayed by the trends.
I want to shout out Poltergeist. That's my favorite Chaos C restaurant here in LA.
Oh, baby. Can we? I want to full on with my chest say what's up to Poltergeist.
Yes. Chef Diego Artoga? I don't remember his last name.
Oh, man. Let me see. Because I'm moots with him. Mutuals.
Moots.
Yeah, I know. I feel dumb saying that. And so I apologize.
If someone is from Massachusetts, do you call him Moots from the Chutes?
Oh, there we
yes,
go.
Yes. And also, thank now you to y'all for really holding me down on the Chutes.
Yes.
Front, because it really feels good. yeah, because they got covered in Esquire.
Have you been to Poltergeist?
No.
We gotta go.
That's a good idea.
Yeah. It really encapsulates Chaos Cooking, because it's like, so before Poltergeist was like a brick and mortar restaurant, he would do pop-ups.
Called Estrano Things.
Yes, Estrano Things. And I remember the pop-ups, he would do shit, like I remember having like crunch wrap pasta.
Yes.
And that feel like on paper, it feels like a fuck you to like fine dining.
Yeah.
But it's so good. You eat it and you're like, I swear to God, if I'm closing my eyes, I'm eating a crunch wrap. But then you open your eyes and you're eating pasta. You know what I mean?
Wow.
And now he does things like on the menu at Poltergeist right now, there's a in quotes banana split. And like when you try and order it, the server will tell you like, hey, just so you know, it's not a banana split. And if you're not adventurous, you're not going to like it because they will like the ice creams are weird flavors. And then it's just in a bowl with like banana chips and like Skittles and like whatever else they have lying around. Yeah. It's like a real loose interpretation of a banana split. And I love that spirit for a restaurant.
Yes. Diego Argote. You were right.
Yes. Argote. Yes.
Trust your first mind. Yeah. But yeah, same thing. I went to Estrano Things. Mythical Chef Josh, he brought me. He was like, oh, you got to go. This guy, I think he's amazing.
Yeah.
He's so good. I see this long line. I look at the menu and I was like, I have to have everything.
Yeah.
Because it was like, you know, these like very, there was like the one ramen, like the top ramen was done while they had like a bang bang noodle kind of thing. But yeah, it's so funny you should say that. That is exactly what that is.
Yes.
You nailed it. And yeah, Poltergeist, if you're in the LA area, it's
check out
Button Mash, so you get to play some video games too.
Yeah.
That's where it is now.
Oh, one of my favorite salads in the city. Oh. Poltergeist, Thai Green Goddess, amazing. Yeah. Anyway, you guys ready to dive into the episode?
Yeah, let's do it.
Here we go. So the episode starts off, Manny and Kevin working out. The power bottoms are training. It's really, I felt like this was really just, we're just trying to get a different audience to watch the show here. You know what I mean?
I like that they're pushing the ship. They want the AO3, you know, fanfic message boards to go wild with this.
Yeah.
And
I hope it works. If you want to test out your fanfic, DM it to us and we'll read it. I think that's fun.
I'm already going to search if there is already Top Chef fanfic.
Yeah, there has to be.
There has to be.
And if there isn't, make it happen. The chefs are sitting around. Kalina and Sue enter. And I don't know about you guys. I got emotional. I was like, wow, this really feels...
Yes.
Triumphant for them.
Done so well, too, because, you know, Kalina busted in. It's like, I'm back, bitches.
Yep,
and everyone's like, hey. And everyone's hyping. And then they're like, who the fuck is this?
You could feel the palpable anger in the room.
Oh, I mean, I knew. I thought right away they would be pissed because it's just like no history with this guy.
Yeah.
And I mean, the
except
only people
for
who met
one
him
person
was kicked out.
Oh, Dan knew who he
Dan,
was. Yeah, of course.
Yes, knowing
course,
everyone.
Dan, yes.
And I was so confused. And this is one of the grew up on West Coast things I found out. And I learned that from Wisconsin to Chicago is shorter than it takes to go from LA to San Diego.
Wow.
Yeah, it's only 80
miles. That makes sense.
It's 80 miles apart. Uh-huh. And because I was like, how would they know each other? And M just goes, you have to remember that California is big.
Yeah.
And other states aren't as big as California.
I just now reacted like I didn't know that. And then I remembered I went to school in Chicago and accompanied friends on a bike ride from Milwaukee to Chicago. Like, I don't know why I thought that was far.
I didn't know that road.
That's
the road that Dan Jacobs took to meet Sue.
That's true. Yeah, every summer. Exactly.
Yeah, I like to Going imagine up. Him on his bike like,
Sue, I'm coming.
So we get into the kitchen and Kristen drops this bomb that because two people are in the competition, now two people could be eliminated. And it won't be tonight. It's like the scariest thing where she's like,
weird.
It could happen whenever.
Oh, I know. It, to me, it seems unnecessary because it's like, they normally tell you the day of anyway. So yeah. It's sort of like, okay, I mean, of course there's going to be double eliminations in the future, I'd imagine. I don't know. It seemed unnecessary.
Yeah. It felt like a real producer, like, amp up the drama.
Right.
Move.
We need
yeah.
a little more.
Because like you said, it could be that 3 weeks from now, they just suddenly go, and tonight's a double elimination.
Right, which we yeah. would expect anyway. But, you know, fair enough. I appreciate the effort.
Yes.
Yeah, the spice.
Raise the stakes.
They bring in Christina Tosi for the quickfire, and the challenge is to make a dairy-based dessert. The winner gets $7,500. No sponsor. Sorry, everyone. Save your drinks. Mm. And we don't have to go through everyone's dishes, but on the bottom, we get Dan with his dark chocolate pudding, yeah. macerated plums, basil, fried baguette. The problem, he was using a vegan recipe.
Yeah, that was
And he threw in cream cheese at the last second.
That's one of those right. things, and I feel like this happens sometimes, where I'm friends with chefs, but I'm nowhere near anywhere near the level of my friends who are great cooks. You know, I preface all this to say, sometimes you're watching a show and you're like, no, I know that's not going to work. Like I know.
I'm not good at this, but I know that's not good.
I know that's not going to work. Yeah. And this was one of those moments where I was like, oh, you just can't toss a cream cheese into a non-dairy
yeah.
thing. Like, because I get the idea because, sure. you know, but with that, I would have just done straight up cream. Like, I feel like that sure. might have been more successful.
Right. Yeah.
But because eventually he was talking about, he was like, oh, I'm trying to get this cream cheese flavor out. I'm like, yeah, dude.
Yeah.
That is going to be overpowering. Yeah.
He did try and get it out with dark chocolate. And here's where we should talk about Laura's continued villain
yes,
edit.
It continues.
Baby.
It goes
yes.
strong. Yeah. I yes. mean, he was shouting for the dark chocolate and then it was right in front of her. She does. I mean, I could totally believe, and I don't know if it's like he said, Dan said, you know, she's kind of in her own world.
Right. Exactly.
I could totally believe she's just like not even paying attention, but it's hilarious because not only that have those two specifically had that issue. It was mm-hmm. the slip.
Yeah.
That episode. That was her.
The capital
and Dan.
S slip.
I know. Yes. Even though Charlie was also involved in that and then got away. But you know, it was just, it's interesting the way that, you know, they pit them against each other.
Well, yeah, because it's very interesting, this evolution of Laura on the show. Because, yes, we had the slip, and then it kind of lands on Laura. Then we had the price check,
issue. Yeah, yeah.
And then now we have this. And this seemed like such a small moment, too, because it was like, where is it? And it was like, there it is. Okay. I don't know why you didn't know. Like, that could have not been in the episode, and it would have been
sure,
fine.
Yeah.
So it makes me wonder if even more is on the way.
Yeah.
Sure. They chose it out of something.
Yes.
Right?
Like, yeah. They've got hours and hours of footage. They could put anything into this hour, and they chose to put that in. So we'll see if that pays off. Also at the bottom, Manny with his churros. Everyone said it's not crunchy enough, but in his defense, he said the desserts are not in his wheelhouse. I don't remember if I mentioned this in the draft episode. In past seasons, we used to have a rule that was, one of the quote points was, I'm not a pastry chef or I don't do desserts or anything like that. But we kind of phased that rule out because over time, chefs kind of realize if you're going to come on Top Chef, you should kind of learn a pastry or two. And this was Manny's moment to go like, yeah, I don't really do this.
Well, also, in regards to that, once again, as a like not super good chef knowing what was wrong, like, it wasn't the fact that it wasn't a good churro, it's the fact that you put that cream on it right away.
Yeah.
And
which I also think he knew.
Yeah,
it's not like he was mystified as to why it was soggy. He was like, I fucked up.
Yeah, but I'm like, that is like the, like, you know, anyone who's made like a cupcake and you put it on and you're like,
right, yeah.
So I think it seems like even Christina liked the churro.
Sure.
So I guess what I'm trying to say is you don't have to say that pastry isn't your thing. You did a good pastry. You just
slipped that's
up.
True. Yeah. That's true.
Right.
Which anyone could
in
have
the
done.
Rush.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Rounding out the bottom, we've got Danny with his black sesame cream puff. Everyone said it needed more time in the oven, and no one is more disappointed than Danny because his pastry chef wife is not going to let him hear the
end
of it.
I mean, I love a, you know, chef power couple.
I know.
I thought you were going to say I love a nagging wife.
I love an absolutely horrible. No, but I it was cute, and they showed the little pictures, and she was like decorating a cake next to him, and he's like, I think she's the best pastry chef in New York. And
yeah.
I love love.
You love seeing two people who truly admire each other.
That's
you know
true.
What I mean?
Yeah, yeah. In the similar profession.
Yeah.
Like Lin-Manuel Miranda says.
Oh.
Love is love is love is love.
Oh, yeah.
Is love is love is love.
I don't know how irrelevant that is the current situation.
That's right.
It feels like you just rummaged around a bag full of quotes about love and you're like, yeah, that one works.
Okay, yeah, that guy.
At the top, we've got Kalina with her salted caramel and rum custard. She was annoyed that she had to do dessert again, considering she got eliminated for her terrible cheesecake crust. But this felt like redemption because she got back up on top. So that was great. Michelle gets on top with her play on strawberry shortcake. It was a lemon corn cake with a mascarpone basil cream. Also one of the people who said that desserts are not her thing, but look at her here up on top. Mm-hmm. And rounding out the top, we've got Amanda with her Bananas Foster-inspired cheddar biscuit shortcake with banana pastry cream and vanilla chantilly. Everyone was like, cheddar and banana, that's crazy. And she made it work.
Yeah.
Pretty cool.
She also said she's got a gamer mindset about it and then quoted the Pokemon theme song.
Oh my God, yeah.
I want to be the very best like no one ever was. Which I feel like for people of our age, it was like, of course we know, we get it. But objectively, I can take a step outside of myself and be like, you're really leaning into this nerd shit, huh?
Yeah. Look, as someone whose brand is being a nerd, you're doing great.
Yeah, she's really living up
to it. We're going to get you on Actually. Don't worry. Next season.
It's happening.
We're ringing that line.
So Michelle takes it. She wins the Quickfire Challenge, wins $7,500. Then we bring along Maddie Matheson as our guest judge. I do want to point out that we trot out Christina Tozzi, who is a legend, and on any other show would be the judge for the whole season. And here she's just here for a quickfire, and they're like, get out of here. We got to have Maddie Matheson on the show.
Gee, I know. I was star-studded.
Yeah, it really speaks to how big the bear is, I think, right now.
Oh, yeah.
And, I mean, look, I don't live in Canada. Maybe he's, like, really big in Canada. But
well, also, he did those Vice.
That's true, right, yeah.
He seems like a TV personality,
like,
M
lovingly referred to him as, like, the new generation's Anthony Bourdain.
Oh, that makes sense.
Which I'm like,
sure.
I don't know if it's there yet, but I'm like, okay.
Sure. I mean, yes, there is a void for kind of like, fast living chef people, food types.
Fast living.
I don't know how he lives, but I assume it's fast.
Amanda Starstruck, she says this is the best day of her life.
Hell yeah.
Oh.
And Maddie Matheson introduces our elimination challenge, which is to do chaos cuisine, which Amanda literally needed to explain to the rest of the group. We don't need to beat this to death. We talked about it earlier.
Also, just addressing, I realized last week we thought Amanda might be out for the count because she was sick, and she's back.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Thank you for reminding us.
Yeah, it was so interesting because, we definitely thought we did. But then, like, it hit me. I don't know if I said this on that episode or not, that in that group, she was like the only one who kind of knocked it out the park. So I feel like it felt like they were like, oh, great. We don't have to come up with something to complain about.
Right.
You get well. We're going to kill Iffy's fantasy team.
It's just now occurring to me that I do think Amanda's also got a shot at a fan favorite at the end of the season. Yeah. All the nerd stuff is very endearing to
us. Yes.
She has some good moments in the like confessional or whatever. Yeah. Like,
yes.
I think.
Yeah. She says that this challenge is in her wheelhouse because her food has been labeled chaos. She explains to the audience it's really just modern fusion, but she feels very comfortable with chaos cooking. Roska also says she's pretty confident. I mean, she did a mustard dessert earlier in the season, so she's like, I got this. Other note I wanted to make about Roska, she's only 25.
Oh my God, yeah.
She said in her little stand-up at age of 25, and I was like, holy shit.
It is always shocking. Even the last season, which was International Top Chefs, like, I was shocked at how young everybody was, you know, for being so accomplished and everything. And I do think most do start really young. You know, if you're really into it, you can start cooking when you're a child.
Right,
so,
that's true.
But yeah, it's shocking. 25, a young one.
That's anytime someone's that young on this show, I'm like, you're good. If you got eliminated first, everyone would be so proud of you.
Oh,
right.
So everyone gets 20 minutes and $150 to spend at a specialty shop of their choosing, which leads to a fun little sequence. We go to an Asian market. Dan nerds out again about being around a bunch of Asian food. But the big headline here is that Sue runs around. He's like, I have no plan.
Yeah.
He can't make up his mind about what he's going to make. So he just grabs a bunch of random ingredients.
Well, this was interesting, right? Because Sue was such a sniper in Last Chance Kitchen. And he kind of mentions that having more time to think, he has more time to kind of second guess himself.
Yeah.
And that was very interesting. I was like, ooh, I've never considered the fact that you only coming in at that level, like your brain is like ready for the quick stuff. You haven't had to kind of let it rattle around there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I figured it would translate because it translated well to Quickfire when he did his peanut butter jelly thing. And it was like, oh yeah, this makes sense. He was on top, but then in same kitchen, basically. But then, I feel like they say it's the game up here.
Yes.
In the mind.
And I do think this is the one disadvantage that Sue has is because everyone can kind of get out these jitters on episode one.
Yeah.
And he's like, no, I have to perform at like episode six level.
Right
now. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And also I do need to point this out because I shotgun laughed, but when Dan mentions about all the African spices he sees, it immediately cuts to Jamaican jerk spice. And I was like, huh.
I missed that moment, but that's very funny.
Huh.
That's very funny.
I was like, okay.
Editor, yeah.
Like, either they did not get the B-roll because they got like curry,
right.
But it was like,
right, yeah.
It was just like curry, which like there's so every culture has curry.
Yeah.
So it's like a safe cut. But I was like, did y'all not get any B-roll on the African spices? And now y'all are like,
Gotta buy some iStock footage.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. My favorite bit in the African market was that Kevin tried to buy cocoa butter thinking that it was cooking cocoa butter and it was skin cocoa butter. Right. That was adorable. Really thought that was adorable.
Yes.
You know.
And then there's also a Mexican or Latin market. Manny and Kalina are there. It's great. Everyone pays using their Wells Fargo active cash credit cards.
I was going to say, take a
gratuitous extended shot.
In a way where I'm like, that is sitting there and framed up. Like I've had to hold a thing like that for a thing.
Mm-hmm. We've all done a little bit of handwork.
Yeah.
So then the cooking starts. Dan drops the phrase chaotic neutral and Amanda laughs. This is one of those things that I feel like for some of the audience going to go over their head,
yeah.
But like nerds are like, oh no, that's chaotic neutral is a specific linguistic term.
It's from the D&D alignment chart. You have true neutral in the middle, lawful neutral, chaotic neutral up here. You have chaotic good,
neutral good and evil good.
And lawful good.
Lawful good, right.
Yeah, and then you got lawful evil, neutral evil, and chaotic evil.
Right.
So now you're looped in. You know?
You're welcome, America.
That's the best way to...
Yeah.
Sue decides he's making General Sue's chicken, but then he pivots to General Sue's shrimp. Can I just say I love General Sue as a pun?
Oh,
just amazing.
I was like, I turned into one of the judges. I was like, put that on a menu right now.
Because
I see that on a menu, I'm like, yeah, I got to see what General Sue's chicken is.
Yeah, start printing those labels, monetize. Mm-hmm.
Savannah mentions that this is sort of a grudge match for her because 9 years ago, she made a dessert with mustard greens, and Maddie Matheson himself made fun of her for it. And so she is like, I'm going to do it right this time.
Amazing.
What is so funny about it is she mentions that, and then she tells him to his face, and he's like, huh? What, like,
he doesn't remember.
Like, does not remember. He's like, what was the chef? And she says the chef now, and he goes, ha ha. Like, he immediately, and it made me think of that clip from that Carmichael reality show going around where Gerard Carmichael, if you haven't seen it, Gerard Carmichael was friends with Tyler, the Creator, but then professed his love to him. And he was like, you ghosted me. He was like, I'm sure I handled it mad normal. And he was like, you called me a stupid bitch. And he goes, yeah, I did.
And then
I was like, oh, that is the exact same energy.
Yeah.
Right. It just hits you right in the
brain.
Yeah,
you're like, I remember that.
Yeah. Wow. I do remember that, and I stand by it again now today.
And then didn't they say it was like over FaceTime or something too?
Yeah.
Which is so strange. It's like it must have been quite the video chat.
Yeah, it's one thing to get dissed in real life, but to get dissed like from 2,000 miles away is another thing.
Yeah.
So she's making her little mustard green dessert, also doing it with pomme souffle, which they don't talk about in this episode, but like in other cooking shows, like MasterChef, they talk about how hard that dish is to do.
Yeah.
So she's really... aiming high. She says it's the riskiest dish she's made in her career, period. So really got a lot going for her, or a lot riding on this, I should say. We take a commercial break. When we come back, I just wanted to point out, we do this weird editing sequence with Danny where it's like a beautiful mind. We go through all of his memories and his family photos, and Maddie Matheson has a voiceover. It feels like the editor was like, hey, I really want to try something here. And they're like, look, kid, we got 15 extra minutes to kill. Go for it.
Exactly. That to me, it was really like the episodic director is I need to put my stamp on this. I don't know what that was, but it also made me nervous because like, great, they're featuring Danny, who was on the bottom for the quick fire.
Yeah.
And he's now we're in his like POV for some reason.
Yeah.
Like, that was so
it was
strange.
So bizarre. It does. Yeah.
But you know, I do think it's something about, maybe because they were just like really in the kitchen this whole time and there wasn't a lot to explore, right? There's no road trip. There was no farmer's market, whatever.
Which was weird. It feels like for a chaos cooking challenge, they would have put them somewhere weird.
Right. Taste some chaos, you know, especially if they didn't know what exactly that meant.
Yeah.
And so I think maybe they did that as a result. Like, is this like a bottle episode, you know, of a sitcom? It's like, well, we don't have anything and we're snowed in, so it's time to do a weird Danny dream sequence.
Yeah.
Fever dream.
Yeah, it was bizarre. Speaking of staying in the room, The judges are dining in the stew room. With the judges, we have Maddie Matheson and the chefs Philip Foss and Sophia Rowe. And then we start the tasting. Again, we don't have to go through every dish, but let's talk about the top dishes that made it to judges' table. We've got Sue with his General Tso's shrimp with the salsa verde and the roja. At first, that salsa verde wasn't holding in a dot, so he makes it into a schmear, and everyone's like, that's pretty chaotic. Everyone said the textures were good. Sophia Rowe said she could eat 600 of those bad boys. Yeah. So apparently, very good dish. At the judges' table, they say that both the sauces were great, the shrimp was great. It just seems like Sue, you know, really putting his stamp on things.
Yeah, locked in.
Kicking the door in. Yeah, he's ready to go. Savannah's at the top with her potato souffle with golden milk, tropical fruit, and mustard greens. And what a delight to watch the judges do it when she walks away, because everyone's just like, she fucking did it.
Yeah.
It works.
Yeah.
Everyone's happy.
Yeah, and it seemed like they were waiting for that from her, you know? Yeah. Like this was kind of, oh, hey, she's kind of graduated to another level. So that was cool to see.
It made me surprised that she didn't win the whole thing, because the narrative is so strong to be like, this is 10 years in the making.
Oh, yeah.
I'm putting mustard greens in a dessert, and for it to actually be good, it feels like that should be the win.
Right. Yeah, she had like Maddie Matheson's FaceTime screenshot above her chef cubicle, like with penciled in eyes.
Danny's on top with his scallop shoe farsi with a yuzu kosho foam. I thought it was really baller that he held back from plating. That, like, they showed in the edit that he's kind of just twiddling his thumbs, being like, I don't want to plate too early. So he helps Dan plate his million components.
Yeah.
Again, made me so nervous. I was
so
like,
nervous. Because he's playing it so
well.
It was one of those things, too, when I was looking at Dan, where, and it seems like that was his energy going into it, where it felt like this is either something that is going to be so great because it looks so sloppy and wild, or people are going to be like, what the hell did you do? But with immunity, go for it.
Yeah.
Okonomiyaki. Yeah.
So everyone loved it. At the judges' table, Kristen said Danny's dish hit the table and everything in her soul was being like, fuck yes.
Yeah.
And speaking to Chaos Cuisine, we were talking about earlier, Gail said this doesn't feel like a middle finger, which so much of Chaos Cuisine is. It feels like reverence and respect for this beautiful scallop mousse. And so that was nice to hear. And then rounding out the top four, weird number, four on top, two on the bottom. I don't know what happened there.
Yeah.
We've got Dan with the okonomiyaki funnel cake with a bunch of shit on it. And this is the one... Look, I'm biased. I just came back from Japan. I had okonomiyaki mere days ago, but I saw this dish and was like, fuck yeah, Dan.
Yeah.
I love this dish. I love the idea. I love the execution, and the judges loved it.
Look, I love a sloppy looking dish that tastes amazing.
Right. And I feel like okonomiyaki was a good choice for just chaos. I don't know. Like,
in general,
it just looks crazy.
Yes.
During judging, Maddie says that it could be on the menu at a lot of restaurants, which is plus 0.25 for Dan there.
Ooh,
saying that something is menu ready, restaurant ready, anything along those lines. That's 0.25. So there's some pointage there for Dan, which is you?
Yeah.
Yeah, nice. Okay. Yeah. So let's talk about the bottom dishes now. We've got Roska on the bottom with her crab and eggplant roulade. Sierra, thank you so much for bringing this beautiful eggplant as set deck here.
Well, let's even talk about when she was describing what she was making and the faces that Tom and Maddie were making at each other while she was explaining. They had no faith in it. And I do think that's one of the things. To me, that is like the critical canon moment. Those canon moments like in Spider-Verse where it's like, okay, if they're unsure, if you knock it out the park, it's going to look so good for you because they didn't believe in you.
Which, again, is why I was so surprised about Savannah, because they were equally hard on Savannah. Yeah. They're like, I don't know, mustard greens and dessert, this is going to be fucking weird. And she knocked out of the park and she still didn't win.
Yeah.
Interesting.
But, yeah, they were hard on Rosica and they were right.
Oh, man. Yeah. Well, we can continue to the
No, I want to harp on this for a while because the judges said it was slimy and slug-like, which is not what you want to hear about food.
I mean, because eggplant, it does get a little slimy sometimes, right? So you do think about, like, okay, grilling, you know, the sort of making, I don't know.
Things
it's
to
a
add
lot.
Texture.
Right.
Same thing with okra. It's like, that's why we like fry okra.
Right.
You know?
And Tom in past seasons has been open about
he
not liking okra, because
of,
you know, if you get rid of the sliminess, maybe kind of thing. But anyway, that, and then, you know, I guess it was underseasoned, and that was strange too.
Bland
for
as
her.
Bland could be, as Tom says.
Yeah. So, you know, I think also part of my worry with her, like, in the past, of course, I've been like, she could win it all, you know, very, very confident.
She could. I think she could definitely fight her way back.
Yeah. That's true. She was on top for sure. There were certain moments now that, you know, when you look back on your life and you're like, oh, there were signs, you know.
Yeah.
there were signs and like, there, you know, she would take risks and she was one of the biggest risk takers and that made her really strong. But there were times when she did take a risk and she would not really be rewarded for it. It would be like, she's like, I really like this dish. And then like, she wouldn't be on the bottom, but she also wouldn't be on top. She'd be in the middle.
Firmly in the middle. Yeah.
You know, and so I was like, okay, you know. And kind of what I mean is like, sometimes at that point, I wish the person would be more like, oh, I should have done this. I should have done that to make it better. Mm-hmm. So especially in this dish too, she wasn't really expressing like, oh, I'm so worried. I'm so
worried. The judge's remark on how it's odd that she doesn't recognize how bad the dish is. Because
they're
like,
even after.
I think that they're identifying that she's like, well, I put a lot of work into this. And they say it's a lot of technique to get to no flavor.
Yeah.
Which is almost impressive.
Maybe. Yeah. Chaos. But yeah, it is sort of, you know, I would have been more comforted if she had forgotten to plate something, you know,
or
it would have been a mistake. She knows exactly if she had gone back in time, she'd do it differently. But this was sort of like, oh, interesting. I guess I just didn't like it. And, you know, and again, I'm not there. Maybe she is right. But it was a little less comforting than, and then it made me look back and see those times when she did that similar thing.
Conversely, the other person on the bottom was Michelle, who admitted that she was lost in this challenge.
Her hand.
She raised her hand and said, I didn't get it.
Yeah.
And as they're doing the deliberation, as she's in the stew room, she's like, I'm not going to beat myself up about it. I didn't get the challenge. It's okay.
Right.
And she's like kind of made peace with it, which I think is admirable.
You know, and I'm glad you brought that up because, this seemed like the hardest elimination they've had the judges so far, because these are both two chefs who did poorly but have been great. So
strong.
Great.
Yeah. If you look at the whole season, it's top contenders.
And I was so sure it was going to be Michelle.
I was too.
Specifically because Rossica, you know, has been winning so much. But there's two things that I've thought of since we've got to this point that made me realize that's why it was Michelle. And I think one is something you just pointed out. I think the fact that Michelle owned it, I think that that's a hidden thing that isn't talked about much, is your decorum during the judging process kind of sways them. Yeah. And Michelle kind of knowing she messed up and Rossica being less confused, I think has that. Two, something we were mad about with Charlie was you were saying that they consider the quick fire and Michelle won the quick fire challenge. Mm-hmm. So, one, that makes sense. Two, then what the hell happened with Charlie?
What the hell happened
with Charlie?
That was strange.
I mean, I definitely think, too, when I was going through in my head, you know, as we all do towards the end, we're like, oh, mine didn't do so well. I was like, Rossica didn't do so well. Who else didn't do so well? And it was like, honestly, everybody did pretty fine. The only person was maybe Michelle. But again, she won the quickfire and she's she's been a strong contender. So I was like, maybe Rossica, you know?
I really thought it was going to be Michelle just because, just like rubric wise, it seems like there's a heavy emphasis placed on just like technical stuff. And the cardinal sin that Michelle made was that her pork was raw.
Oh,
yeah.
Right.
Kristen had to stop eating it in the middle of judging. They opened it and it was like tartare in there. And I feel like undercooking pork is just sort of one of those things where, and I'm not rooting for Michelle to go home.
Yeah.
I love Michelle, but I was like, oh no, if you undercook pork, you're simply done. And so I was really, really shocked that it was considered a bigger sin that Rossica stood by her bland dish.
Right. Must have been pretty bland.
It had to have been so bland.
That's what M said. Like, it had to have tasted so bad for us. Like, it had to be. And now that you point out already that Tom has a weird thing with mouthfeel and sliminess, Tom probably was like, I hate
this. I can't live with this.
Because if you didn't like okra, I know how slimy eggplant can get. Right. And if it was that slimy, I know Tom was like,
I mean, even on paper, if you told me that if I read on a menu, it's like, it's eggplant and crab and like creme fraiche and it's been steamed, I'm like, I already don't want that goop. Do you know what
like
I mean?
A meat, put a toast in there or something. Exactly. Put some croutons.
The only goop I want is Gwyneth Paltrow's candle.
That's right. That's right.
Yes, outside of that.
$1 billion company. please.
Do we want to talk about anyone else's dishes? I want to say that Kalina's trash burrito pasta looked really good to me, and that's because I love burritos and pasta.
Yeah, I know. I love. I was like that. I would love to taste that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, everyone kind of. This was I think pretty that strong. Pep talk uh-huh. helped because this really felt like yes. everyone kind of...
Everyone was doing their thing.
Yes.
Yeah. Right. So let's move on to the end. There's four on top, two on the bottom. Mm-hmm. They remind us once again that one or both Rossica and Michelle could go home. And during deliberation, Gail even says, like, I could see an argument for sending them both home, which I'm like, whoo, you got Ooh. That producer hat on. That is good television right
yeah.
there.
Wow. Yeah, yeah. Just throw it out there like it's nothing. I know. And they didn't really, did they say at all, oh, hey, these are two of our strongest contestants?
They did not.
They didn't really address yeah. that.
I think maybe they're trying not to play favorites.
Sure, yeah. sure, sure.
Because once you start to say, like, you're a strong contestant, then it seems like
right.
if you win, then they're leaning in.
Yeah.
yeah. Yeah, no, that's fair. They got to leave that out.
So they reward Danny. Danny wins the elimination. Again, really thought it was going to be Savannah. Danny says it's his first solo win, which I had to go back and double check. I was like, oh, that's, I guess he's only ever won as part of a team.
Yeah.
Which is crazy because he's such a strong chef, but this is his first solo win. Tom says that dish is one of the better dishes he's had in 21 years of doing this show.
Wow.
And it was cooked with 18 minutes left on the clock, which is crazy. And they send Rossica home. Rossica packs her knives and goes. Do we have any other Huge. Gut reactions to Rossica going home? Because I feel like I could do a whole 40 minutes on how shocked I am that Rossica went home.
Yeah, I know. I'm very, very curious and excited to see the next Last Chance Kitchen.
Sure, sure.
I think that this is going to be a very spicy one. I think Rossica could thrive in a Last Chance Kitchen, but I don't know what to expect. The dynamic was already changed with Sue kind of coming in the picture. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. He has his jitters out, mm-hmm. clearly. It's about to get buck wild.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it's a bummer. I kind of was hoping Rossica and Sue could be in it and see them kind of go head to head.
Loved, yeah.
But yeah, another thing, I mean, I think just from like a zooming out level, I'm like, there's a real lesson in just like, you know, you're up one day, you're down the next.
That's
you
true.
Know what I mean? And we're all in entertainment. We know that. We
yeah.
know that.
Yeah, too well.
We know that
too
very well.
Too well.
But, yeah. you know, I think it was like a good lesson, you know, especially for my team where I was living high and being like, she might be the top. And then, hey, she get kicked out because of just a bad dish. And I think that was another thing, too, was just that I wasn't upset in the way. I didn't feel like it was unfair, right? It was very yeah. much like, hey, it seems like she didn't cook well that today. And, yeah. You know, I'm glad that they stuck to their guns and, yeah. you know, made that judgment because that's what it was. And she took it well, too. And she'll be back in Last Chance Kitchen. But I think, you know, overall, like some good life lessons there.
Yeah, yeah.
Good life lessons.
Yeah,
yeah.
I'm
yeah.
sure you didn't take it hard because your chef still won. How many chefs are on your team right now?
I do have three.
Okay.
Quite strong. You know, we got Danny, Dan Jacobs, and Sue.
Oh, okay. I will say, hold on, let me look this up.
Yeah.
I still have all five of my
yeah,
chefs.
Yeah. He's
and
the
I'm
one to look
still
out for.
Not doing that well.
Don't worry. I only have two. I have two chefs. I'm fighting for my life.
It's like, not. This just proves that in Top Chef Fantasy League, it's not about the number of chefs. It's about getting the highest point getters. And you have so far picked the highest point getters.
Yes.
Yes. The past couple eliminations have, we got Danny just won, so he's going to have immunity.
Although yeah. now that you've got Rossica out, and I mean, yeah. she's still going to get you points in Last Chance Kitchen.
Sure. That's
I do
hope.
Think she's at a disadvantage being at essentially round one of Last Chance Kitchen because
yeah.
now I would have to yeah. go back and check the records for like Chris and Kish and the other people who have won from Last Chance Kitchen. I think that they were closer to the end of like they right. would get eliminated. They'd only have to win one or two challenges to get out yeah. of Last Chance Kitchen. Rossica now has to win like five or six times
right.
to get back.
She's basically on the same journey as Sue.
She has
yes.
to pull a Sue. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, she has to pull a Sue.
Well, this makes me beg another question. How many people were usually in your Top Chef Fantasy League back in the day?
It depended, not more than like 10 or 12.
Okay.
And in the big leagues like that, we would have to double the pool. So let's say there were like 15 chefs. We would have to double it to 30 and everyone could draft a chef twice.
Okay.
Just so the pool is big enough that enough people could participate.
Yeah.
I actually think this is closer to like the proper size for
yeah.
a league.
Because I was like, yeah, in a league that size, there's some people who are just chilling.
Yeah,
just,
for sure.
Eating chips while everyone else talks about right. points.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm doing that anyway, but you know.
Hey, there's still some hope.
Yeah.
Amanda and Michelle are both very strong contenders.
Yeah, this is truly like, you know, Amanda and Michelle versus the world. And those are two people who can stand on 10 toes.
Like, you get a lot of points just for making it to the finale. So if there is a world where the finale is person X and Michelle and Amanda, you get a shit ton of points. Then if one of them wins, you get a shit ton of points.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? If one of them gets knocked out and then makes it back from Last Chance Kitchen, that's a shit ton of points. So yeah. Don't count yourself out yet. Yeah. Speaking of points, let's do our points breakdown. Reminder, you can find our scoring rules on our Instagram at Top Chef Fantasy League. This week, the quickfire favorite dishes were Amanda, Kalina, and Michelle. That's plus 0.5. The quickfire winner was Michelle. That's plus 1. Judges table was Sue, Savannah, Danny, and Dan. They each get 1 point. The elimination challenge winner was Danny. That's 2 points. There was no Last Chance Kitchen. Maddie Matheson said that Dan's dish could be on the menu at a lot of restaurants. That's 0.25. So, for this episode, I gain a measly 1.5 points. Not too proud about that. If you gain 2, I think that's the first time you've not been at the bottom. Congratulations.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh.
But Sierra once again blows us out of the water, gaining 5.25 points. Mm. How are you doing it?
I mean, I pray to the gods every day.
Top the culinary chef, gods, yeah.
The Clicchio gods.
You write a little letter to Tom. You stop by Kraft Steak in Century City.
Yeah, I slip a little note under the door and, and hope he gets it. And he does, clearly.
So our leaderboard as of right now, Iffy still in last place with 10.5 points. 10.5 points. Uh-huh. I am in the middle with 18.25 average, not bad. Still completely getting obliterated by Sierra with 30 round points.
Wow.
I mean,
you have 20 more points than me. 20 more points.
You have one whole me more points than him.
Yes.
I mean, I got credit to a lot of it has been Sue winning these Last Chance Kitchen challenges. So, we really thank David Murphy for taking one for the team and dropping out.
Iffy, do you have any regrets about not trying to steal Sue back when you had a chance?
I mean, seeing him come out, I do, but I feel like the only ones that people that you would have traded for are the only ones who are still here.
That's how I feel. Like I regret not trying to steal Sue, but I still have my whole team.
Yeah.
It wouldn't have been wise to me to try and trade someone else. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's just that no one on my team is particularly good at getting points. We'll see what happens next week. If you have any thoughts or suggestions, drop us a line on Instagram at Top Chef Fantasy League. If you're doing your own Top Chef Fantasy League, tag us. We like seeing your team names and stuff. Let us know how your team is doing. For full unedited episodes, you can check us out on YouTube. We have a new camera this week. It'll look a lot better. Thanks again to my co-host Sierra Kato and Iffy Wadiway. We'll be back next Monday with a new episode. Thank you so much for listening. Bye. Top Chef Fantasy League is hosted and produced by Mike Cavalon, Sierra Kato, and Iffy Wadiway. Our theme song is composed by Dylan Van Auken. Special thanks to Jarvis Johnson. Follow us on Instagram and YouTube at Top Chef Fantasy League.